What's up everyone, James here and welcome back to another episode of the Aquarium Podcast. Today, I wanted to take a look at the fascinating world of fish created in some way within the hobby. So what do we mean by that? Well, essentially, what we are talking about today is fish which have been created within the hobby more for ornamental purposes, such as selective breeding or genetically engineered to enhance colours. It's fair to say that the aquarium hobby is full to the brim these days with fish marked as ornamental, such as the modern day goldfish, or the many varieties of the common clownfish with their weird and wonderful patterns. But believe it or not, this isn't how they are found in the wild. Goldfish, as previously touched on, are not actually the vibrant orange we find in our local pet shops today, and are more found in the wild, more a greyish colour. Same with betta fish, clownfish, and many others within the industry. Many of the fish we find in the wild have a very similar story, and a fair few we see today are the result of carefully selective breeding to focus on creating the most visually polarizing fish. One really great example of this is the freshwater flowerhorn. This fish, in fact, is a crossbreed between three different species of cichlid: the red devil, the trimac from Central America, and the hybrid blood parrot from Taiwan and Malaysia. In 1995, the blood parrots were further crossbred with the human face red god of fortune, which produced a new breed called the five colors god of fortune. With its selective beautiful colors, this fish quickly became popular. Selective breeding continued through 1998 when the seven colors blue fiery mouth, also known as the greenish gold tiger, was imported from Central America and rumored to have been crossbred with the Jin Gang blood parrot from Taiwan. This crossbreeding led to the first generation of Hua Luel Han flowerhorn hybrids, which are then followed by subsequent flowerhorn introductions. Today, the flowerhorn becomes a staple fish within the hobby, and one well sought after, especially ones with the large protruding forehead, which has led to prize fish competing amongst other things. Around 2000 to 2001, the camphor variety appeared. These were hybrids of any type of flowerhorn crossed with any species of the genus Vigia, or with any parrot cichlid. These brought in some new traits such as short mouth, wrapped tails, sunken eyes, and increasingly larger head bumps. Seeing this, those who bred the Zen Zeus began line breeding their fish to develop faster and become more colorful in order to compete with the camphor strains. Unfortunately, whilst fish such as the flowerhorn are some could argue beautiful fish to own, there are many criticisms to them from environmentalists for a number of different reasons. Interest in flowerhorns resulting in culling of surplus and deformed fish, some of which were dumped in the wild in Malaysia and Singapore, where they survived and disrupted rivers and pond ecosystems. Like many other cichlids, flowerhorns are aggressive and can breed quickly, competing with and eating native fish. Flowerhorn breeding contributes to the commercial demand for new and different fish, leading to unethical practices such as breeding for anatomical deformities, as occurred in goldfish breeding. Within the aquarium hobby, flowerhorns are not favoured because of the difficulty of breeding them. The majority of flowerhorn males are sterile, which means that they cannot produce, so finding one that is can be quite time consuming. Hobbyists have to wait until between 8 to 10 months for a male fish to reach sexual maturity, then pair it with a female to test fertility. Flowerhorns, along with goldfish and clownfish, are not the only fish to have such a controversial impact. The same definitely could be said about the popularity of the betta fish. I have spoken also about this previously and the controversy with them, similar culling practices and breeding for, quote, perfection, some could argue as unethical. There are so many varieties of Better Splendours these days, it's ridiculous. The Crown Tail, Delta, Double Tail, Half Moon, Placat, Rose Tail, Round Tail, and Veil Tail, just to name a few. There are, believe it or not, varieties to this, which begs the question, when is enough enough? Even in the marine fish keeping world, things are much the same. The most popular, I'd say, is the clownfish and the ornamental varieties of the false clown, such as Clarkey, Darwin, Blood Orange, Misper, Black Ice, and Black Snowflake. Sadly, these are not the only variants, and that is only just the tip. It's funny, as some could say even coral has been cultured this way to some extent, with the insane varieties now available to the hobbyists. The amount of palaeozoas known is around 200. I think a good topical thought also is to counter-argument the point of, is it that bad, really, to have so many ornamental fish within the hobby? We know that most domestic bred fish are at least more conditioned to the environments and water quality held within our aquariums, which we could argue is a definite improvement, as it can help reduce mortality rates with newcomers or less experienced members of the community. There is certainly a benefit to aquaculture in the sense that the hobby is able to meet demand without overfarming our rivers, lakes, and oceans. We could say also that this does have a measure of environmental impact in saving some animals from extinction. I mean, we could argue this is as likely to be humans which have caused the environmental impact in the first place, but that's another topic on its own. Regardless here, I think the point is that as long as they are not being dumped in rivers or oceans, then technically things are not as impactful here as we may think. I guess it comes down to how well they breed domestically and how it impacts that particular fish species. Is it wrong to want to make the best looking fish? Could we compare this to selective human breeding to make the perfect man or woman? Who knows? I guess even trying to create a perfect person will eventually have a downside in one way or another. All I know is there are some truly amazing fish within the hobby, created in a lab or through selective breeding. I'll be the first to admit some of it I don't agree with at all, especially the glowfish fad that thankfully did not reach the UK, but maybe some do have their benefits. If it helps newcomers or even kids look around a fish shop and light the spark to want to one day start an aquarium, then maybe it's not all that bad. Ideally, it would be better to have aquariums based on natural habitats and have the fish to match these areas and watch that true natural behaviour come out. Unfortunately, many domestic fish are numb to this, and it's not the life they know or have been inbred for so many years they lose traits. It's a real shame, as it's a sort of false representation of nature, but again, each to their own. If it helps the hobby in a positive way, then maybe there is a place for ornamental fish. Remember, however, nature isn't perfect, and we shouldn't be promoting this within our hobby, especially one fundamentally being about the natural world. Those imperfections we think are there could be, in fact, perfect in another's eyes. Do we need perfect, bright-looking fish for our aquariums? Is it really the visual of the fish that stimulates us, or is it something else? Is it in fact the reason we find aquariums so calm and relaxing is the theory behind them? The tinkering with things, the noise of running water, the green plants? Who knows? I've never been an expert, just an observer. Take my thoughts as you will. Hopefully I've given you something to think about and wonder for yourself. Thanks for taking the time to listen. And I'll catch you in the next one. If you enjoyed this episode, why not head over to my YouTube channel for more aquarium goodness, or head over to my social media platforms if you want to follow along or talk about your experiences within the hobby. I'd love to hear your thoughts. All the links are in the episode notes to this podcast. And until next time, you stay safe.